his running mate. An historic choice? Absolutely. But now what? What does this mean for the party and the election? Well, joining me to talk about this are political analyst and author Dr. Julianne Malveau and Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy. Lines are open. Want to hear from you tonight. What do you think? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HTFisher or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Malveau, Dr. Fauntroy, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Harold.
Okay, let me start with you, Dr. Malveau. Your reaction, best choice, good choice, what do you think?
Oh, I was absolutely jubilant. Kamala is a California home girl, and I remember her from the beginning of her career. I thought that Brother Biden had an embarrassment of riches. He could not have gone wrong anywhere he went with all those talented women, and especially black women in there. But I think that Kamala is the best prepared. She's used to not only the spotlight, but the whole grueling process of running for president. And I think she'll be fantastic. Now, she's not, you know, everybody's not jumping up and down because some of her policy positions, you know, are not necessarily congruent with what the progressive left has claimed, especially around criminal justice. But the other side of that is, you know, you could put anybody on the ticket, it would be better than the chucklehead in chief and Pence. It'd be much better. So, you know, people are going to have their quibbles with Kamala. They're going to have their quibbles with Biden. But I was just excited. I mean, this is just history. It's so exciting to be at a time where you're literally living and watching history be made.
Hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about her history, Dr. Fauntroy, because as Dr. Malveau just said, there are questions about her record on criminal justice in California, particularly as it relates to people of color. 2020 is the people of color year, whether you're talking about the death of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, and other issues. So is that going to be difficult for her to overcome?
No, I think the questions are fair. You know, she's going to have to deal with some of that on the trail. As you know, when she first announced her run, there were a number of people who made more than a little mention of the fact that she had put more black and brown people in jail over, you know, drugs and similar offenses than was necessary in some cases. But I really want everybody to know that, you know, while the choice is great and notable, and by the way, I agree with Dr. Malveau on this embarrassment of riches piece, I was disappointed that Barbara Lee didn't get nearly the amount of attention she should have. She would have been a great choice too. But the reality is,
Barbara Lee wasn't in it. Barbara Lee wasn't even in it. Karen Bass was.
I hear you. I'm saying she should have been in it, given her background and her integrity and credibility. So, as it pertains to Kamala Harris and any other vice presidential nominee, by the way, everybody should know that when it comes time to vote in November, people generally vote on the top of the ticket. So all of the back and forth about what she did or didn't do as a prosecutor in California ultimately won't matter in the long run, because the bottom line question is, do you want four more years of Donald Trump or do you want something different? And I think for those of us who are paying attention and have seen the fact that we have a racist, misogynist, xenophobic president, you know, it almost doesn't matter who Joe Biden picked, but obviously Kamala Harris is a tremendous choice.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Kamala Harris, the senator from California, also Howard University graduate, now on the ticket as the running mate for Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Israel, calling from D.C. Quickly, what's on your mind?
I just think that, you know, as far as Biden goes, first of all, hello, how everybody doing?
But hey, go
ahead. I just think as far as Biden goes, I just think this is like a I guess you want to call it like a Hail Mary just to get the black vote. That's what I think. Mm. I mean, she's qualified and all things like that, but I just think this is his Hail Mary because I don't think in his heart of all hearts he can beat Donald Trump.
Really?
Oh, my.
Okay. Thank you, Israel.
He's leading in all the polls. There are polls and polls. It's a snapshot of what happened today. But he's leading in all the polls. Black women turned South Carolina for him, which really gave his campaign new life. That was back in February. I don't think it's a Hail Mary at all. When you look at the ticket of group of women that he had, I mean, there will be black women who would have been disappointed were it not a black woman. But the chucklehead in chief is so odious. It's so odious that if he had put Daffy Duck as his number two, I would still be busting my behind to get the vote out.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, you mentioned who you liked, Dr. Fauntroy, but who was your pick, Dr. Malvo? Was it Harris or was it someone else?
No, it was Harris. It was a qualified Harris. My biggest concern with Harris is white people. By that I mean, is there some good old white boy in Iowa who just can't see a black woman as the number two, which could be the number one? But I think that the enthusiasm from the African American community, from women, and from Democrats is high. I was looking at both Kamala and Val Demings, who I like very much too. But there wasn't anybody on there that I didn't like, to be honest with you. As I said, he could have picked anybody, and it would have been okay with me.
Hmm. And see, now you struck a nerve for me because I liked Congresswoman Demings. I liked the way that she performed during the impeachment trial. She was focused. She was succinct. I like her background, not just as a member of Congress, but as a police officer who rose through the ranks in Orlando to become police chief. And I'm not in any way at all saying that Kamala Harris is not qualified, but I just Val Demings did it for me. And I really like that. Dr. Fauntroy.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know, again, Val Demings would have been a tremendous choice. Her background as a police officer and a police chief would blunt any of the defund the police criticism that some people might lodge against Joe Biden, although he's been very clear on that. But at the same time, Kamala Harris's background gets you some of that same as well. And I think the reason, for example, why Susan Rice isn't on the ticket is that, you know, campaigning for the White House, whether as a nominee or in a general, is a tremendous undertaking, and it's hard in 2020 to put somebody on the ticket who hasn't done that before. Not saying it's impossible, but that experience is invaluable, and I think that helped tip the scales in her favor. It would have been the same thing had we been talking about Elizabeth Warren, for example, somebody else who is great on progressive politics and is also well-experienced at the national political level. So, again, a lot of great choices. Senator Harris is absolutely well-qualified, and I think she's going to do a really good job.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the selection of California Senator Kamala Harris as the running mate for the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Mike, calling from D.C. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, first of all, I want to congratulate Kamala Harris for becoming the first female vice presidential nominee. Now, for me, as a registered voter, I hope that this is just not a symbolism thing because the black community went through that before. So, you know, the Democratic Party, for me, as a registered voter, has to prove to me that this is not just going to be all about symbolism. There are so many serious issues in the black community that we definitely have to deal with as a black community. As long as it's not a symbol, the Democratic Party has to prove that to me as a registered voter before they get my vote.
Real quick, Mike, let me ask you, Mike, when you say the black community has gone through that before as it relates to symbolism, what do you mean? You mean t- tokenism, just pick the, you know, pick the brown girl or the black girl just to get the vote? What do you mean? Mike?
Hi.
I think we lost Mike. That's unfortunate. Dr. Malvo, you want to comment on what Mike was just saying?
Sure. I mean, I think the tokenism or symbolism, if you will, is when Biden said he was promised to pick a woman. You know, but once he locked himself into that, I think he had a group of excellent women. I don't think that we could have gone wrong with any of them. Of course, the sisters who have been working the backbone of the Democratic Party is black women. And sister said, you know, if we can carry your water, how come we can't lead? And so I think from that perspective, the only one that I would not have picked would have been Susan Rice. She's such a distraction.
Why do you say that?
Benghazi was going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
And just other things. I mean, I just think she would have been a distraction. I think she's extremely bright, extremely capable. She did a very good job for President Obama, but I don't think that she is electoral quality.
Hmm. Hey, Harold, let me just add quickly.
Sure.
The caller brings up a point that I think, you know, is sort of an undercurrent that to me is somewhat disappointing. So years ago, I heard Ron Dellums once say, you know, politics and voting is about making the best choice from the available options, right? And so we're putting so much pressure on this choice. And I should say I say some people are, right? They, you know, he's got to prove to me that he's serious about this. Well, the alternative is to vote for Donald Trump, okay? And so we only have two choices. We only have two choices. So either you're going to go with Biden or you're going to go with Trump. And so if you're not willing to hold Trump to the same standard, then I don't know why we're doing it with Biden. Hmm.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Professor Fauntroy, completely. I mean, it is absurd that I think the brother's thing about, you know, you got to prove to me, you got to show me. I understand where he's coming from, but I think it's absolutely wrong. I think the Harris pick was not tokenism. I mean, Biden, certainly everybody who had a dog in the fight was lobbying Biden, you know, was lobbying Chris Dodd and everybody else. I mean, that's how Karen Bass got in the mix. And so someone said, well, what about Karen Bass? And Biden's people, to their credit, there were 11 people on the table. So, and any one of them could have done the job. So this whole notion of you got to prove it to me, what do I have to prove to you? Do I have to prove to you that the president is a chucklehead? Do I have to prove to you that 165,000 people have died from COVID? I mean, do I have to prove to you we have no idea what's going on with our young people in schools? I think brother needs to do a little reading. And then, you know, I want to just say something about Val Demings, just for the audience's reference. She did a great piece about a month ago, and maybe it's 2 months, after George Floyd's murder, where she talked to ask her brothers in blue, where are you? What's wrong with you? Really questioning that officer who had his D on the neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. So she has a lot of potential. I hope that if she is not, she's not the pick, she has a great role to perhaps have in the cabinet, and she has a great future in the Congress.
I was about to say the same thing. I suspect that if the Democrats win in November, that we will see Val Demings again, and there are some other people quite possibly in that list of 11 or so that we could very well see, because certainly they are all more than qualified. They are American patriots, and they serve and continue to serve this great country. And I just think that this is not, if the Democrats win in the fall, this is not the last that we're going to see of them. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Vanessa, calling from Durham, North Carolina. What's on your mind, Vanessa?
Yes, I think that Biden made a great choice by choosing Ms. Harris. And I just wish we would get past, anytime it comes to minorities, we always have to be so squeaky clean. We can't have anything in our umbrella that's happened in the past. But yet, anyone else that has ran for office, they have things in their linen closet. It's never brought up. It's never chimed down. We have one of the most illiterate presidents standing before this country that I have ever seen in my life. He does whatever he wants to do. No one has yet to stop him from doing it. So now that he picks Ms. Harris, she's too far to the left with the judicial system. We need someone on the left side with a judicial system. It's a setup. It's a setup in particular for our black men. And our black men need to wake up to that system and stay out of it because it's designed for them. Anytime something is designed for you, you should wake up and not want to get into a system that's not going to benefit you.
Okay.
So I'm pleased with it, and I hope that she goes hard with it. I think that she would do well, and I think that Biden, like he's at the top of the ticket, people are going to say whatever they want to say about it. You know, that's what they do. But
well, Vanessa, thank you so much for your passion. I appreciate it all the way down there in Durham. You better check. Vanessa said you better check your linen closet because you don't know what's going on in that linen closet, Dr. Malvo.
Well, sister definitely had that North Carolina passion.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and I really do appreciate it. I also appreciate, you know, what she said. We hold black people and black women in particular to a much higher standard than we hold others to. Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. What does a prosecutor do? They prosecute.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think she, if you look at her record, I don't think she came down harder on black folks or other folks. In fact, I think she gave black people numerous chances. She put up a youth court where, you know, young people committed crimes, they could have a different alternative than just going to jail or juvenile. So I just think it's going to be really exciting to see her. And I just want to implore black men. I mean, Hillary did not get, well, put it this way, Donald Trump got 1 out of 8 black male votes.
Yeah.
1 out of 8.
Dr. Malvo, I need you to hold on to that point because I need to take a break. And we want to remind you, HUR at Home coming up tonight at 8:15 on all of our social media platforms. We're going to talk about a new oversight division for Metrorail. We'll talk about safety. You don't want to miss that. 8:15 on HUR at Home. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Still taking those phone calls at 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just 15 seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about the selection of California Senator Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's running mate, an historic choice. But now what is next? What does this mean for the party and the election? We are with author and political analyst Dr. Julianne Malvo and Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Malvo, I want to let you quickly finish up your point before we go back to the phone lines.
Okay, cool. What I was saying is that we still live in a patriarchal system where sexism is alive and well. So I'm just really imploring black men to get past that. One in eight black men voted for Donald Trump, even though I don't know why. Now, I know entrepreneurs tended to want to vote for him because they thought he was an entrepreneur, and I always found out he was bankrupt how many times. But there's a piece of this which is plain old sexism. I mean, I did a couple of focus groups with black men for a client, and some of the things that came out of brothers' mouth, I was stunned by. You know, I can't have a woman, you know, in the White House with, you know, questions about her bodily functions, et cetera, and I'm keeping it clean. So, and some of these were brothers that I knew. One brother whose daughter is an attorney, and his other daughter is a nurse, and you say you don't believe that women can do anything? So I'm just asking brothers to please check yourself.
Let me just, you know, talk about that real briefly. I remember seeing a report, I believe this was either on MSNBC or CNN, where reporters attempting to interview women, they all happen to be white, about Donald Trump, but their husbands were the ones who were deciding what they were allowed to say and and indeed who to vote for. So, you know, that patriarchy is, you know, is alive and well. But I would also argue that in this day and in this time, we are seeing a momentous shift. And I would argue that it started with Barack Obama, you know, the first black president. And now we saw a complete shift to the right, and then around the corner and all the way around to the right with Donald Trump. And then here we go again with 2020 being as horribly infectious, whether we were talking about COVID-19 or the political and social situation with African Americans. And so it is quite possible, I think, that America is ready for a huge shift politically right now. The question is that shift going to be Biden and Harris or four more years of Trump and Pence? Let me go back to the phone lines. Coffee, I believe that's correct. Coffee calling from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. What's on your mind?
I will say I'm from Illinois, so I had my, you know, my sights on Tammy Duckworth. But
okay.
I will say I don't care who he chooses. At the end of the day, I just need this man to be out of the White House. When I look at the vice president, I always call him Elf on a Shelf because he never talks. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there like Clarence Thomas in the Supreme Court here. He just doesn't ever do anything. He could step up. He's supposed to be Christian, and he's not. No Christian would allow those things to happen. And then we have Trump, who's nothing more than a complete, imbecilic, moronic, deaf-mute, cymbal-clapping monkey.
How do you feel about that, Coffee?
This, you need to write that down for me. That's worse than what I say about it.
Oh, my.
Who should not be in charge. And he was helped by the Russians. He was pushed into the White House, and we just need to get rid of him. I would vote for anybody that Biden picked.
Okay.
I don't care who it is. Anybody.
Well, Coffee, thank you so much. I've got this social media comment from Gianni Clarkson, who is a local historian, a young brother. And he says, I'm really nervous about this pick, extremely nervous, not because it's not deserving, but because if this does not go well, I do not want the country trying to blame a black woman. Dr. Fauntroy, does he have a point?
I don't know that he has a point. I don't share that concern. The reality is the kinds of people that would blame a black woman for this, if that were to come to pass, would find a different reason to blame a black woman. So I just think that, you know, you got to be in the game to win, and she's eminently qualified, as are a number of other people who could have been Vice President Biden's running mate. And the focus has to be on a couple spaces. Dr. Malvo talked about black men and how a surprisingly large, relatively large number voted for Donald Trump. I would add to that list, 52% of white women voted for Donald Trump in 2016. And we got to have a conversation about that. And then, more to the point, I want people to remember, Donald Trump doesn't necessarily represent a massive shift. We have to remember he lost the popular vote by nearly 3 million, and had it not been for our corrupted electoral college process, he wouldn't be president. And so, you know, some tweaking on the edges, and it appears that we're moving in that direction now, would lead to a soon-to-be-retired President Trump, as opposed to a second-term President Trump. And, you know, we'll see where it lands, but I do not concern myself with her being blamed, should this not work out, because there are a number of reasons to be concerned about Joe Biden. And again, getting back to what I said earlier, more often than not, overwhelmingly so, all of the research shows that when people actually go to vote on Election Day, they're voting for the top of the ticket, not the number two.
I want you both to listen to this, because this is probably going to be one of the issues that comes up as we move toward the debates, for example, the vice presidential debate in Utah, because a lot of people are going to remember this, black and white.
We've also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden, I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing.
Well, you remember that was when Kamala Harris was running for president. That soundbite, and there was so much more when she was talking.
I didn't hear the sound. Did you play it?
I did, and I apologize for you not hearing it, but I know you remember it. And this was the piece about her saying, while she does not believe that Joe Biden is a racist, she was talking about his...
I remember busing policy.
Yeah, the busing policy collaborating with racist senators in order to get stuff done, you know, and it goes on to talk about she was that little girl who was breaking the color line during busing. That's going to come up again. Dr. Malvo, how is she going to address this headbutting with Joe Biden? Because now they're friends and running mates.
Well, they were friends before. They were well acquainted through Beau Biden, Vice President Biden's son. I think that she made a mistake because it was a cheap shot, kind of in the middle there. It got her some notice, and then her polls actually fell off after that. But I think that if anybody raises it, she's got many ways to deal with it. That was then, and this is now. I have to put him in context. He's an ex-year-old man who, you know, basically preceded the busing issue. For some people, busing was a local issue. I think she can get around it. She's a very talented debater. So I think that when it comes up, she can work it.
So there is a historical sort of analog on this. So when George H.W. Bush was Ronald Reagan's running mate in 1980, George Bush had beat Reagan repeatedly about the head and shoulders with this so-called voodoo economics plan that Bush kept reminding Americans about. And while he ended up not getting the nomination, he was put on the ticket and was almost immediately asked about that. And ultimately what it comes down to is the vice presidential nominee saying some version of, hey, listen, that was then, this is now, I'm on the team, I'm here to win, and let's move on. I think given all that President Trump has in his background, and the caller from Durham was talking about linen in the closet, I will tell you that Senator Harris has to simply pivot it always back to Donald Trump, because, again, it's Biden-Harris versus Trump-Pence, and she does not have to allow any space to exist between her and Vice President Biden.
I want to talk about some of the other issues that have come up. This is this is the family story for the Democrats, and even more to the point, it's the dirty laundry and the dirty politics of this. You know, Dr. Malvo, you know, there's been discussion about some of the infighting over the vetting of these 11 or so women, and more specifically, you know, the many black women who would be a vice presidential pick for Biden. This happens with the men all the time, but does it cast a difficult shadow, and does it make for a difficult conversation when, you know, the black women who were jockeying for position and kind of dealing with some of this infighting also? Is it different? Is that a double standard?
Well, of course it's a double standard. Anytime women are, quote, ambitious, according to Chris Dodd, or are assertive, you know, we come off as ambitious.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, don't say
et cetera. Who in politics is not ambitious? I don't know anyone in politics who is not ambitious. That's what politics is about.
I mean, people say they're doing it for public service, and perhaps they are, but they also want the position. And anybody who puts themselves out there to run for president, senator, anything, has to have some ambition because it's a grueling process. There was a piece, I think it was in the Post today, about Patricia Schroeder. And you remember when she ran for president, she talked in this piece about how she would go to a campaign event and the reporters would write about she didn't have any earrings on, as opposed to about the context of what she was saying. When I myself ran for public office a bazillion years ago in San Francisco, I got a letter from a woman who said, you didn't have a slip on.
Oh, my
goodness. The skirt had three layers of lining. I didn't need a slip. But see, many of us, both men and women, can be very petty towards women. And people like Kamala is strong, as solid as a rock, you know, thick as steel. She's not going to have it. She's not going to have it. But the sexism remains, and we see it all the time. You see it with the chuckle-headed chief. He doesn't like to do anything better than to pick at a woman. You know, whether it's his own appointee like Deborah Birx or whether it is Maxine Waters, Frederica Wilson, you know, whomever. So he doesn't like to do anything but pick at women. You have never seen him pick at men as intensely as he's picked at women.
Yes.
Let me add quickly. So, you know, these fights happen every 4 years. There can only be one vice presidential nominee. I think ultimately everybody understands that, you know, that has to be set aside for the good of the party if they're party activist types. And, you know, people will lick their wounds, but there are other ways that they can get what they want or some of what they want if they didn't get the vice presidential nomination, for example. So don't be surprised if some of the people who were vetted end up being in the cabinet, as Dr. Malvo mentioned earlier. Not going to be surprised to see Susan Rice as Secretary of State. Not going to be surprised to see Elizabeth Warren as Secretary of Treasury or some of these kinds of things. So there are things that can be done to help massage people who might be in their feelings right now about not being picked.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. David calling from Manassas, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Well, speaking from an African-American position, I wasn't thrilled about his pick with Kamala Harris. I thought Val Demings and Susan Rice, I thought they were better picks because this woman, her history, and you can't erase it, she was very hard on African-American men and pro-police. And she threw many of us in jail. She lived in white America. She has a white husband. And she's out of touch. And I'm all for our African-American women have done a fantastic job in supporting the Democratic Party. And they deserve that vice president position. But I was not thrilled because it feels like to me that Biden did not consider how we felt as African-American men. And once again, we are put on the back burner. They already give us felonies for some of the stupidest stuff in the world, taking away your vote. And I don't feel like she's going to represent the wholeness of us as a people in this position as a vice president.
David,
Until she proves that, I don't have any confidence in her.
Okay. Well, you know, let me just say this real quick because we got to let Dr. Fauntroy go. I know he's got another appointment. You know, and a lot of folks take issue with the fact that she's got a white husband, and this is another show because we talk about all the black men, successful black men who have white wives and white girlfriends. So let's just throw that piece out. Dr. Fauntroy, I'm going to let you have the last word on that before we let you go. But
I appreciate that because the caller speaks to something I think we need to speak about. So, like Dr. Malvo said, and I've always believed this too, sometimes we hold black people and black institutions to a higher standard or standard that we don't hold others to. But more importantly, everybody needs to know that there's no such thing as a perfect candidate, right? Everybody has things in which we somewhat disagree with. I'm not with Senator Harris on some of the criminal justice stuff, and I thought, and I will tell you that the Breakfast Club interview she did will be more of a thorn in her side than some of the other stuff that we've talked about this evening. But at the same time, we got to remember you got to make the best choice from the available options. Either you're going with Biden or you're going with Trump. And if you stay home, that's the same thing as going with Trump.
Dr. Fauntroy, thank you so much. I wanted to kind of piggyback on what what Dr. Fauntroy, said. And let me say, Dr. Malvo, okay, so Kamala Harris was raised in a predominantly white, community. Okay, yeah, she has a white husband now. But, Kamala Harris is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. She went to Howard University. Here at Howard, we are black, We don't get any blacker than Howard University, okay? You don't get any blacker than being a member of, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. So I really take issue with what you said, David, but, the proof will be in the pudding as we stir it coming up in November. Thank you so much. Dr. Malvo, your thoughts about that? Dr. Malvo, do we still have, or do we have Dr. Fauntroy?
No, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Your thoughts.
You guys about to fuss at you, so you hung the phone up on me.
Oh, I am.
Do you like that?
You know what? It's because I'm black, probably.
I don't think so. I just messing with you.
I know, but the thing that I was saying, David was talking about the whole white husband thing, and I was saying okay, but. Kamala Harris went to Howard University. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. If somebody's questioning her blackness,
That's not the question.
Yeah, Howard is the drop squad for black folks, okay?
She went to Howard. If black men are talking about her choice of husband, here's what I want to ask them.
Uh-oh.
How come y'all didn't step up?
Oh, Lord.
She was on Howard's
campus.
That's
another show.
Maybe she was intimidated or whatever.
Oh,
but, I have no notion that any young brother on that campus pursued that sister like she deserved to be pursued. So I don't want to hear it. Your personal business is your personal business. Her blackness is not compromised by her choice of a white husband. And she didn't get married till she was 50-something, or 50, really, 48, 50. So y'all had, 30 years to go for it? I'm not hearing that.
We're going to have you back on when we start talking about relationships. That's what we're going to have to talk to you about. So, but what does she have to do now? And specifically, aside from race, what does she bring to this ticket that Biden is lacking?
Well, they're very similar in perspective, but she's a little more progressive than he is. She has pushed wage legislation. She has pushed health legislation. Of course, criminal justice is in her, in her bag of tricks. She's done a number of things. In addition to her role on the Judiciary Committee, I think that she brings an enormous amount of stuff to the ticket. I think others would have too. I think that, Val Demings, of course, to have a former police chief would have been amazing. And really could deal with some of this black-blue, conflict. I think Susan Rice has foreign policy chops, but then again, so does Joe Biden. And we can go down the list. Karen Bass was a wonderful bridge between black and brown, and we're going to need more and more of that as time goes on. But Kamala brings a lot to the table. She doesn't bring electoral votes because Democrats have California anyway, but I don't think that there was anyone, maybe Tammy Duckworth, and maybe Val, who brought many electoral votes to the table. So you're looking at someone who's youthful. She's 50-something, early
55, 50-something. Yep.
She is enthusiastic. People enjoy her. You have some people, like the brother who just called, who have issues with her. And I'm like, get over it. As Fauntroy said, you're not going to get a perfect candidate anywhere. And Reverend Barber used to like to talk about the blood test. So here's a story, if I could tell it like he does, but I don't know if I can. He says that, a woman has a baby. She says the baby belongs to so-and-so. Brother says, let's take a blood test. So if you take a blood test and it turns out that the percentage is 10%, that ain't his baby. Now, if it turns out that the percentage is 85%, that's very likely to be his baby. So he said, if you deal with the blood test, who is closer to you in philosophy than not? And when you take the blood test,
where Biden and Kamala, they're closer to us than Trump and Pence are. So that's a blood test. So just look at it that way. We're not going to get everything we want. We never do. And I just think what we have to do is work our behinds off to ensure that ticket can get elected. Because I don't know how much more of this stuff we can take. Over 100 Obama-era environmental regulations have been challenged. 60 of them have been reversed. The others are in adjudication. Labor laws have been challenged. Money has been taken away from education, from public education, to give to private education. This man has had over 144 judicial appointments. I can just call the roll. It's absurd. So if you want to continue like that with your water polluted, with your schools broken down, you know, we're seeing COVID has shown us everything we need to know about inequality. But we also have a president who believes in inequality. So if that's where you're going, go. Just don't come by my house.
Yes. And I think, you know, the Trump's judicial appointments are closer to like 180 some odd, and none
you
of
might be, maybe
yes, yeah, and
maybe only 150,
yeah, and none of them are African American.
No, and he finds these young dumb white people. I mean, young dumb white people. They had a woman had never tried a case before. They put her on the court as a judge. They had another little white boy. Now he embarrassed himself so bad the Republicans would even go with him. This little fellow did not even know common law. The senator said, well, do you know what this law is? He said, no, but I could look it up. Who does that?
Yeah, and I think, to that point, we're talking about the choices that, you know, that are being made. I think you have, it can be argued that, for many social issues, many African Americans were raised in conservative households. And when I say conservative households, for example, when it comes to, abortion, you don't have a whole lot of black folks who will say they support abortion, but they, for themselves, but they will support pro-choice. You have a lot of black folks that are people of faith, many of them Christian, although, otherwise, so they may consider themselves Christian conservatives, but they still may not find that to be an issue that would allow them to vote for a Donald Trump over a Joe Biden. And I think that the argument must be now made by Biden and Harris is about, what do you want your country to look like? You know what it looks like under Trump, and it may not be perfect moving forward if the Democrats win. But some would argue, some would say it's got to be better than the last 3.5-4 years.
Well, absolutely, there's no question. I mean, again, we know Biden isn't perfect. We know that Kamala isn't perfect. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking for the great to be the block of the good. So I think they're good. Not only good, I think they're fantastic. I think the team is a fantastic team. I do have some concerns, of course, about those, like that brother who called earlier, folks like that, and the other brother who said, you got to show me. I have concerns about that. But the work is to get people out to vote. The work is to get them on this ticket, to get them with this ticket, the Biden-Harris ticket. The work is for black women to tell their men, dude, this is what I need you to do.
And it's interesting that you should mention that, because I think there probably does need to be a discussion between, husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and young black women and their fathers about, whether you're sitting around the kitchen table, well, how do you feel about the possibility of this historic pick going beyond the pick to make history? Joe Biden is not a young man. God forbid if something were to happen to him, if he were to win in November and if something were to happen to him during those 4 years, Kamala Harris would be it. And I think but the reality is we are talking about a heartbeat away. Donald Trump is not a young man, okay? And if something were to happen to him, Mike Pence would be it. Those are the conversations, those are the real world conversations that people need to be having. But in this particular instance, when we're talking about Biden and Harris, you know, that it just needs to be in the back of everyone's mind who's voting on this ticket, just like any other presidential election year.
Well, as I said earlier, all you have to do is take the blood test. Who is closer to you in terms of ideology, in terms of philosophy, in terms of what you want from a government? Do you want someone who has garnered international derision? Literally, we're in the middle of a COVID pandemic, and this fool basically leaves the World Health Organization. Leaves. When this pandemic has no boundaries.
Indeed.
You can't restrict it to one place or another. It's just there. And then he has these various and sundry restrictions, some of which are unenforceable. So, you know, is that what you want? Again, I'm saying it's over 160,000 people who have died. More than 4 million cases of COVID. More than 4 million. Maybe about 4.5 by now. And the myth was that young people couldn't get it. A baby got it in Florida.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So that's just, I mean, they may transmit it differently, but they do get it. And then you have this person who refused to wear a mask, who says it's just going to go away like magic. It's just going to go away.
It is something for us to consider every day and even beyond November 3rd. Dr. Julianne Malveau, always good to talk to you. I appreciate you talking to us.
Well, love always you. A pleasure to be with you. I hope you're well.
Thank you. I am. I most certainly
good.
Am.
Good. You sound well. Take good care, my brother.
I'm trying to keep it together. Dr. Michael Fontreau, we also thank you for participating in this great conversation that is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.